Episode number 272, Camaro convertible finally unveiled in LA.
Live from the Motor City, Detroit, Michigan, it's the Camaro C28.com podcast with your host Chris Frezza and Jason Debler. Strap in, it's the Camaro C28.com podcast on the air.
Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of the Camaro Z28.com podcast. I'm Chris.
I'm Jason.
Oh, man, convertibles, finally.
It's about time, you know.
It's only been forever.
Yeah.
When did they first show that? That was, what, 2007?
Yeah, with all those, it was at the GM Style event.
That's right.
That was cool.
That was a great show.
I met Chopper from King of Cars or whatever that TV show was. That guy was cool. That was nice. And then didn't you hang out with Mario Lopez or something like that?
I didn't hang out with him. But I yelled Slater at his face.
like you walk up and just scream Slater and walk away.
Well, he was walking right in front of me. I was like, Slater.
And what'd he do?
He looked at me and he turned around and he walked the other way.
I'm surprised he didn't punch your lights out or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hey, you bought all the DVDs, right? The Saved by the Bell DVDs.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right.
You know what? Seasons, yeah,
he could have at least said, yeah, I played Slater, you know, how you doing?
Yeah.
No, jerk.
Yeah.
All right. So let's sorry, a little tangent there. So yeah, the Camaro was finally official unveiling.
Yeah,
LA Auto Show. Neat presentation. They made it look like a big Hot Wheel coming off the Hot Wheels track.
Yeah.
And me being a diecast collector guy, I thought that was pretty sweet. And I guess they had some of some promo diecast cars of the Camaro convertible out there.
Yeah, they're going to do like 150,000 or something. Like
yeah,
that.
That's quite
handing it all out at the show.
That's quite a bit. That's quite a lot. So they shouldn't be too hard to get a hold of, and we're going to try to get a hold of a few of them and maybe give them away to you listeners in one of the contests that we're always
doing.
That'd
be cool.
Yeah. So don't pay top dollar for one when you can win one very, very, very cheap.
Yeah.
In the future. So, Chris,
want to hear some specs?
Let's get to the specs of the Camaro convertible.
The finally released official specs.
Right on.
Okay, so on sale February 2011, the Camaro convertible. So obviously they're going to start production in January. Well-tailored fabric top.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this last week.
That's
and
right.
We talked about how it was like a form-fitting
doesn't
top
have a hungry horse look.
Yeah.
Thank you, Al Oppenheiser.
Acoustical headliner for quietness and easy to use single latch.
Mm-hmm.
Robust reinforced structure supports a sport coupe-like driving experience. I think this is very important.
Well, this is what I talked about. It was, during the last focus group, Al Oppenheiser told us that it wasn't a request or a goal. It was a requirement that it has coupe-like ride dynamics, if I remember him saying this. He said there was no option otherwise. It had to handle and ride exactly like the coupe or it will not be accepted.
Right.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
There was going to be no compromise at all. And when we drove it at Milford, he was right.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, in order for them to do this, they had to add some things to the car, which, of course, adds a little bit of weight. But we'll talk about that in a minute. They had to add a tower-to-tower brace under the hood, a transmission support reinforcement brace, an underbody tunnel brace, and a front and rear underbody V-brace.
Yep.
So, you know, it's going to drive like a coupe.
Yeah. And
no different.
You don't want it to feel flimsy.
Right.
You want a drop top, you know, physics has to come into play just like before.
Yeah.
You want a lightweight car? Get a Miata.
And in the press release here, I mean, it quotes Al all throughout it when they talk about how they have to add this because it says our goals in development was to make the convertible match the coupe as closely as possible in ride quality, handling, and overall performance. So, you know, when you add some stuff like that to a car, you're going to add a couple hundred pounds.
Yeah, and that's about what is 150 to 200 pounds, plus the convertible top mechanism.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, I mean, I don't see this being a big deal. I mean, would people expect it to get lighter because it doesn't have a hard top?
You're not buying this car for weight here.
Oh, yeah. No. When you buy a car, you know, when you buy a convertible, it's because you want to turn into a, you know, I don't know. I don't want to get too deep into it. But I know that there are a really interesting select few that do indeed buy convertibles for racing because they just like convertibles. And God bless them, man. That's That's a stunt.
Yeah.
But you know what? The car looks awesome with the top up and top down. With the top up, everybody was had a concern because a lot of times, I mean, look at the old Saab convertibles. Jesus.
Yeah.
Some
convertibles just don't look good.
Yeah, well, this one looks good top up or top down. For 200 pounds, I'll take the damn good looks. And it is. And it's sharp. And they're going to sell a ton of them.
Oh, yeah. You better believe it.
So, you know, whatever the, you know, just I'm thrilled. Al and the rest of the team did an incredible job making it right. The no-compromise approach has carried all the way through when it comes to looks and function and performance.
And speaking of looks, there's actually a couple things that they did to the convertible that's going to distinguish it against a coupe. And some of them is the OnStar XM AM/FM radio antenna moves to the deck lid on LT models without the RS package.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this last week.
Yeah.
The radio antenna is embedded in the rear spoiler on RS-equipped LT and SS models. The trunk lock cylinder is moved to the rear seat area for a cleaner exterior appearance.
Mm-hmm. If the test mules had that ugly sort of stuck in the middle of nowhere trunk lock. So
I needed a smooth locker.
Yeah, I was just thinking, look, that's okay. I got a solution for it. I got a smooth lock. It'll just work. Dirt cheap and easy to apply.
Yeah.
But that's okay. There's a hidden keyhole in the inside of the car. It's kind of ingenious where they placed it.
Interesting.
I'm not going to tell anybody where it's at. They'll have to figure it out.
Is it like the ignition key that's located between the seats?
You mean on that vehicle? It's on the Trailblazer, right?
No.
No?
No, it's the Saab 97X, which is actually a Trailblazer, except it has the ignition key between the seats.
So what you're saying is that the Camaro convertible, which has a key for the trunk, I believe it's a emergency type thing, in the back seat area, but as opposed to the Saab 97X, which has a key between the seats, which is otherwise just like a what?
A Trailblazer.
You don't say. Oh, the old timers are listening.
That is never going to get old.
That bumper nuts. The long time listeners
will know exactly
what we're talking about. If you don't know what we're talking about, you got some catching up to do. So leaf through, I don't know, episode number, I don't know, 70 or 80 in that area.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'd be about that. Anyway, let's move on to this convertible thing.
Yeah, they did a new subwoofer design too.
Mm-hmm.
Located in the trunk between the rear seats.
Yeah.
Huh.
So instead of the Saab 97X having a key between the seats, the Camaro convertible has a
subwoofer
between the seats.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it wasn't let's just rip the top off and make a fabric one that fits and goes up and down. They re-engineered a good portion of this vehicle for better handling, better performance, and better comfort.
Exactly.
No compromise. Love it. Love it.
I can't wait to drive one.
You'll love it. If you get anybody out there in listener land, drive a new Camaro convertible and a new Mustang convertible back to back.
Okay.
And the Mustang will feel like it's made out of balsa wood.
Balsa wood, huh?
I'm talking like it flexes like a twisty tie. It flexes like a Russian gymnast. I don't know. I'm coming up with this stuff, you know, as I can. But that was the idea. That's why they had us drive both at Milford, to show this is the difference, this is the improvements we're making.
Okay.
And they did. Can't say enough good things. I'm not even a convertible guy, but I can't say enough good things
and
about it.
I think I saw one
this.
On the road today.
No, it's not surprising.
Yeah, cyber gray one.
Well. Nice. So, what do you think of the Camaro convertible? Like it? Hate it? Indifferent? Going to get one? Not going to get one? Going to drive yours over here and ram it into Chris's Camaro? What are you going to do? Give us a call and let us know what your thoughts are on it. We're pretty happy with it. Chris, you gonna trade yours in and get one?
No.
No?
Nope.
Why not?
Well, what about you?
I'm kind of tattooed to my car. You know, I mean, I can't sell that thing. It isn't worth anything now. But you, on the other hand, it's a bone stock car. That's what people are looking for.
No, it's not bone stock anymore.
Yeah, well, okay, we can put the original intake back on. It only took us,
5 hours, I don't know.
That's because, I don't know. Why did it take us so damn long?
Because it was dark.
Yeah, that didn't help. All right, we gotta move on here. But let's talk about more GM improvements.
Like, welcome back, GM.
to the financial world.
Yes, they're now a publicly traded company once again. And it was actually pretty cool because I was reading through Twitter that day, and I saw that the board of directors and CEO for GM, you know, as you could assume, rang the bell at the New York Stock Exchange, you know, to open the trading mm-hmm. that day.
Yeah.
But what also happened is they had the roar of a Camaro. Right after the bell rang, all you heard was a revving.
Yeah.
And it was a Camaro.
It was pretty cool.
And people were cheering, and it was pretty cool. I thought that was a nice little tie that they had there.
Yeah, I thought it was nice. Speaking of which, at the LA Auto Show, a resident, reporter, if you will, Guy on M, was there, and he made an interesting multi-segment thread in the Automotive News and Future Vehicle Discussion area and said that the Corvette was largely ignored.
Really?
Yeah. Even with the new ZR1 sitting there, guess what stole the show?
Well, the Camaro convertible.
As well as the new Mustang. And
They unveiled a new Mustang?
Well,
there?
I mean, no, the latest Mustang was also there, getting a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. The Volt, obviously. The Cruze, I don't remember what he said about the Cruze. I don't remember if he said it got a lot of attention or if it was just kind of looked over. But Corvette, just kind of sitting there, nobody even paying attention to it.
Really?
And, you know, at first I thought, you know, the question was, is the Camaro cannibalizing the Corvette's sales? And at first I thought, no way. Now I'm starting to really wonder, is it really stealing that much thunder?
Bet you there's someone we know that could answer that question.
I'm afraid to ask him. But Fitz, what's going on here? Is the Corvette kind of taking a back seat to the Camaro for the first time ever?
Ever?
Or is it just popular opinion,
yeah,
but not in sales figures? I mean, I don't know. It was. I don't like the idea, actually, surprisingly enough. I mean, you know, the Corvette is what drives the performance that trickles down to the Camaro.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm probably reading too far into it. But, yeah, it's kind of interesting. I just think it's interesting.
Okay.
So GM stock, anyway. Sorry.
Yeah.
A little tangent there.
Another congratulations. The Chevy Volt is Motor Trend Car of the Year.
Yeah.
Also the Green Car of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the CTS-V won an award as well. I just can't remember the name of the award.
I think I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember it either.
Yeah.
So, again, here's another question for you listeners out there. Did you buy any of the newly released GM stock? I'm seeing a lot of people extremely hesitant about it, especially if they lost a lot or even a little with the previous GM stock, which leads me to a story of when I bought GM stock. When it was about, $4 a share, I was looking at it going, yeah, this is General Motors, man. It can only go up.
Yeah.
It can only go up. So it was like on a Saturday, and I was sitting there, and I'm like, I'm gonna invest in GM. $4 is where it closed, so it was Saturday. Okay. So what I'll do is I'll buy like $1,000 worth of General Motors stock,
mm-hmm.
Or whatever. And when the stock market opens, the order will be placed, and then it'll just go up from there.
Right.
Well, what I did not know was that what it closes at on one day and what it opens at on the next are two entirely different numbers. So what was intended to be, I don't remember if it was a dollar amount or whatever, but it basically doubled. And the next thing you know, I'm in for twice as much money as what I'd originally wanted to put in. And then I lost it all when everything went down. So, I lost a bundle for not researching how things really work.
Mm-hmm.
On the plus side, at the same time, I bought some Ford stock, and that's doing all right.
Yeah.
So hopefully General Motors will do well, and I'll kick myself for not buying it this time around.
Yeah.
But things are looking good. I mean, they're building great cars. They've cut a lot of fat away. They've trimmed a lot of waste, and they've got some serious momentum.
Absolutely.
All the critics says it wasn't the bailout wasn't going to work, and people saying they're using our money for this and our money for that. Well, you know what? We're getting paid back.
Well, there's still a lot of critics out there that claim that the IPO wasn't large enough for the government. They're still having to hold on to a large portion of the company. I don't know how much they actually sold when they opened, But the company was supposed to go from 65%, I think, government down to 40.
Was it 40?
Yeah. I think so. Depending on what they could get for the shares when it opened. Would it open at 35, 34 or something like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I believe I read analysts said that the stock would have to be at about $50 to $55 a share in order to get back all the money that it was invested. So, we'll wait and see, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you can't happen. Well, I guess it could happen overnight, but it's a big machine. So, you know, good luck to everybody. If you invested, I guess thanks for having faith in the company.
Yeah.
I can't afford to do it right now. I'm kind of concerned. You know, new guy. I'm not a big investor.
I'm definitely concerned. I lost everything that I had invested in GM. I bought my stock probably when it was valued between $20 and $22 a share.
Yeah.
And I sold it at 70 cents. So.
I mean, and we're you and I, Chris, we're small potatoes compared to what a lot of people lost. Yeah. So we really don't even have much to gripe about. But what did it close at on Friday here?
I think it was 34 something.
And what did it open at in the initial IPO?
Don't know, 34 something.
Well, it's 34.26. but according to the chart, it's a little bit up. So,
because I think it opened at 34.30.
It's up 0.07 according to this.
Oh, okay.
So hey, any increase is a good increase. I don't know.
Yeah,
probably not enough. We got to move on, Chris. I think we have some emails and some voicemails.
We sure do.
All right. What do you want to do
Let's
here?
Let's split them up here. You do one, I'll do one.
Why don't you do one? I can't find the one that I'm supposed to do.
Okay. This one comes to us from M-Ray Break on the board.
What?
M-Ray Break. M-R-A-Y-B-R-A-K-E.
Okay.
Hey, Chris and Jason. M-Ray Break from the website here. I just got done looking at the Chevy Camaro website and the pics of the Synergy Series and XM package. I think the XM package looks great. I thought the little spoiler looked great too until I saw it from the rear. They put a brake light in there. I'm not a huge fan. What do you guys think? Thanks for the great podcast. Keep it up.
Let me see that piece of paper.
Yeah.
First of all, what the hell's his name?
M-Ray Break.
Okay. M-Ray Break.
I get it.
His name and the... Yeah, okay. All right.
I saw it. We both saw it in person at the SEMA show. I didn't think it looked too bad.
Well,
is it the third brake light there?
Well, no, the third brake light is in the window, the back window of the car. But because a spoiler pops up so high, it blocks it from, like, you know, if you're in a Miyagi or something behind it. So you're not going to see the third eye there. So all it is an additional safety thing. I'm sure that if it really bothers you, you can pay a reputable body shop to fill that in pretty cheap. I don't know if they're going to offer it painted anyway, so you may need to get it filled and painted, but I wouldn't do it. I'd rather have my safety over looks.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah.
So, M-Ray Break, thank you for throwing that our way. Yeah. Much appreciated. And let's see, I found the one I'm supposed to have here.
Okay.
All right. This comes from Templar Knight. Dear Chris and Jason.
I wonder if he was drunk.
Oh, that's right. He's hitting the sauce, isn't he? no, because he typed it pretty well. So
okay.
I've come to a conclusion. A week or so ago, I've tried to switch CDs in my Camaro, and it spit the CD back out. Then for about a week, it wouldn't let me put a CD in. Today, I got in the car again and reached into the back seat, grabbed a CD and put it in, and it took it immediately and started playing. This just confused me, and I determined to do the one of the following. A, keep the CD in there for now, or B, get the CD player looked at. Then I thought about it. The CD I took out was a CD by the rock band Hurt. It was a burn CD with a red face. The CD I tried to put in, that it didn't take, you know, spit out, was a burn copy of the soundtrack to the Broadway musical Wicked on a purple-colored disc. Oh, and it had the song Who I'd Be from the Broadway musical Shrek at the end. Mm-hmm. I've decided my Camaro decided to punish me, and I've learned my lesson. I drive a muscle car. It is a car that is meant to be masculine. Only play rock music. Leave the sissy crap for the Grand Prix. It's not me. It's the car talking. I'm kind of afraid of what will happen when I install an iPod adapter and Shuffle clicks over to a musical. It might blow up my iPhone. Can't wait to hear this on the podcast. Sean, a.k.a. Templar Knight.
That's a very well thought out... email. I thought he was going to do something like my grandma did the other day. She was just putting the CDN upside down.
Well, I got to debunk his theory.
Okay.
Because, believe it or not, amongst Slayer and Between the Buried and Me and Cannibal Corpse and all the stuff that I listen to, I also listen to another side of music.
Yeah.
One of my favorite songs to listen to in a good sounding audio with a good sounding audio system.
The Sound of Music?
Is Michael Jackson's Speed Demon.
Okay. Never heard of it.
Now, I'm just going to say, you know, whatever it's worth, it's a good song. And I've never had any problems playing that in my Camaro. Of course, then again, I leave the windows up when I do.
Yeah. So it's probably not a musical either.
Yeah, that's true, and it's not Wicked on a purple disc. So, okay, well, Templar Knight, don't try it again. Now you've learned your lesson, don't fool around. Is that it for emails?
That's it for emails.
All right. Well, we got more voice.
We got a couple voicemails too.
All right. Well, why don't we get to it right after this?
To stay informed and in touch with the Camaro Z28.com crew, go to the message boards at CamaroZ28.com. If you have a question for the podcast, call the Camaro Z28.com voicemail hotline. The number is 586-486-3182. That's 586-486-3182.
Well, I guess we only have one voicemail. I was mistaken. I thought we had two, but we only have one this week.
Yeah, that's all right. Kick it off.
Jason and Chris, I want to say thank you. This is Jonathan Brown out in Old Pan, New Jersey. I want to thank you for letting me be the winner last month. Wanted to touch base. I have one quick other question, and that's about the two keys with the Mustang Boss 302. Do you think Chevy's going to do something similar for the Camaro SS? And do you think the 200 changes in commuter programming make a real difference in the performance of the vehicle, or is it just setting the throttle so it becomes more sensitive? Blah, blah, blah. Anyways. Always a great show. Thanks again for letting me be a winner. And do you think Chevy's going to, you know, do something like that to the Camaro SS so that it's also competitive with whatever Ford marketing is coming up with, or is it just a marketing gimmick? Thank you very much. Have a good night. Thank you.
Jonathan Brown, our buddy from New Jersey. Congrats again on winning last week.
Yeah.
I hope you got your prize pack.
Well, I still got prizes to send out. I'm a little behind on that. So,
okay.
The mail doesn't run every day in where I live or something. That's a good one. That's a good one. I got to remember that. There's actually a thread in the automotive news and future
Absolutely.
Vehicle discussion forum about this.
Yeah.
Do I think Chevy's going to do it? No. No, I can actually kind of, I can almost speak for Fitz on this one. I can just imagine me asking him and him just shaking his head and going, No, we're not going to do anything like that. Now, what do I think of it? I thought it was kind of neat at first. I thought it was like having like a loaded weapon and you had to put the safety on it,
yeah.
You know, like, but then some of the guys on the board said, you know, there is something in lieu of having a reduced performance key, and it's called your right foot and using discretion. And I'm thinking, now who in the hell in the right mind is going to say, I think I want some performance. Hold on, let me pull over, turn the car off, pull the key out, put another key in, start it back up and then take off again. So I thought it was kind of neat, kind of like the daddy key on the ZR1s, but
right.
But that's, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I don't let people drive my car. If you don't trust who's driving your car, don't hand them the keys.
Because wasn't that the key that for the original ZR1, wasn't that like a valet key?
Yeah, they called it a daddy key where it shut half the injectors off
right.
or something like that out of the 16 valves that it had. Or 16 valve?
No,
it's a 32 valve.
Yeah.
So LT5. 16 of the 32 valves, some crap like that. So,
yeah.
No, I don't.
Marketing gimmick.
It's neat. I'm sure it'll sell the car.
You think so?
I don't think it'll sell thousands more. Well, I don't think that alone will sell thousands more. 200 engine parameters. That's
so just a
that's
reprogram.
Subjective because it just switches from one program to the other.
Right.
Is it 200 increments? Or 200 separate parameters. I mean, what is the exact wording? Chris, you've had a car tuned. I've had a car. Had my cars tuned. The difference between the two isn't like hit a 100 shot of nitrous. I mean, you notice different, you know, different power band increases, but it's something that most people wouldn't even know the difference. So unless they're going to just detune the crap out of it to begin with, I can't see a tremendous amount of increase.
I agree.
That's my opinion. It remains to be seen, but boy, if it does make a huge difference, I'd like to know why.
Yeah.
So that's it. That's it from our...
that's it for our voicemails this week. Just one. Just one. Yeah.
Well,
so call in, everybody.
Yeah, and thanks for everybody for calling in over the past, month and a half talking about car storage tips.
Oh, yeah.
I guess we got to declare a winner on that because we kind of, like we always do, we kind of made it into a contest. We got some pretty good ones. A lot of them are repeats, but they're worth repeating. We had to pick a winner here because I had a CamaroZ28.com diecast series one that I found. Tough call, man, because they're all great. But I think in going through these, it's going to have to go to username RS Mick.
R.S. Mick.
Yeah, Mick.
For the win.
Yeah, for the win. First of all, he mentions that he listens to the podcast every week. So that's, you know, a bonus right there. And then he says he always plugs the car into a trickle charger because the battery will, he says he's been told the battery will last longer if it isn't allowed to lose its charge. And he also talked about tire skates.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. That was something I don't think we've had talked about before. Maybe, but I don't think so. And he says he's been doing those two things for storing their 20-year-old Miata, and do the same when he gets his 2011 Camaro convertible next year. So it's proven to him to work. Some honorable mentions, Outrun, / Outcast, / Outhouse, / Outland, / Out There, / Out Here, / Wash Wax Vacuum, Change the Oil, Top Off the Gas Tank, Give the Gas a Shot of Stabil, Disconnect the Battery, Inflate the Tires to 40 PSI, Steel Wool in the Tailpipe, Covered with a Decent Car Cover While Sitting on a Tarp. That's the Jason Debler routine. Yeah. So, and then also honorable mention goes to Ed Kleehammer, talking about putting dryer sheets in the car so it smells fruity when it comes out.
Fruity?
Or whatever. Springtime Fresh, new stabilizer. And so we had a lot of good ones. We always appreciate it. Hopefully people can use it when they're putting the cars away. And
it's almost that time of the year.
You know, it's definitely that time of year. I'm getting the snowmobiles out. So time for the Camaro to go away, the snowmobiles to come out. Mick, shoot us your mailing address at webmasters@CamaroZ28.com, and I'll get your CamaroZ28.com Series 1 diecast car out to you with my next shipment of prizes going out to everybody.
Congrats, Mick.
Yeah, nice job. Thanks, everybody. We're going to be doing more contests in the future. We always have our monthly call-in contest, which we're more than halfway through the month now. Speaking of cool stuff, Cypress Classics Auto. They make... The long
and
short of it is
presentation boxes.
They make good boxes.
Yeah,
heavy
duty, sturdy, beautiful, nice looking.
Pinch your finger, good.
Yeah,
and you can get it.
Bash your thumb real nicely. Yeah,
with your choice of Camaro logos or even Corvette logos on top. These are really cool. We talk about these every month or so, if not more. We each have one. For a box, a presentation box, they're just awesome. Incredible quality. Chris, you and I were talking about this. They're kind of pricey.
Yes.
And we were thinking about people, you know, would they spend, starts at $40, for a box. Right. But this is like a presentation box. You can keep your car memorabilia in there. You keep your watches and your wallet in there. It's felt lined. It's just beautiful. Well engineered. You got to check them out. It's one of those things you got to see and touch to appreciate. And the choice of tops are pretty cool. You can get 25% off your order by going to CypressClassicsAuto.com and upon checkout entering code CamaroZ28.
That's all you got to do.
Yep.
And you get 25% off.
Yeah. And tell them that we sent you. Check them out. If you're looking for a nice gift, especially with Christmas coming up, all right?
Absolutely.
The gift for the Camaro enthusiast or Corvette enthusiast, because they do that too, this can't be beat. And they'll do the same thing. They'll be like, it's a box. But then when they pick it up, they'll go, wow, this is pretty damn nice.
It's almost that time of the year.
It's like
again.
A work of art. Yeah. In fact, next week will be our holiday glee episode.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Last year, and I think the year before that, too, we like to do a little taste test of something special.
Yeah.
Courtesy of Jones Soda. Well, this year they have yet another flavor for us to taste test.
Last year it was the tofurkey
and gravy
flavored tofurkey and soda gravy soda.
Yes,
that we did the taste test. And Chris, I think you've got the video in our YouTube channel. Yeah. Is that correct?
Sure do. I think this year might be interesting.
Well, I keep thinking about it. either it's going to be a whole lot better or a whole lot worse.
Yeah. So make sure you tune in next week.
We're not going to tell you
to
the
listen
flavor.
To us, Ralph, on the air while we drink this.
You don't want to tell them the flavor?
No, wait till next week.
Is it yam?
No, it's not yam.
What the hell is a yam anyway?
Yeah.
All right. Is that it for this week? Are we out of time?
I think so.
Well, I guess then.
I got to talk about one thing.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
There's people that have been waiting for the iPhone app.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I submitted it to Apple 2 weeks ago, and this week it was denied. It was denied because apparently I broke a rule when designing this app. Apple released some new rules in September of this year.
Nice.
And because this is a podcast app, rule 9.3 states that you cannot transfer more than 5 megabytes of data over the cell network in 5 minutes. And it exceeds that by, I think, 4.5 meg. So, back to the drawing board for me.
Well, we'll have to figure something out.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, you can always sync through iTunes and listen to it that way.
Absolutely.
Subscribe to it. What other ways can they connect with us? You know, I mean, we always...
we provide just a whole bunch of different ways. I mean, you can go to the podcast forum. You can hit us on Facebook.
Facebook, Twitter.
Yeah.
Were you still on MySpace?
Yeah, we sure are.
Does MySpace still exist?
Yeah. In fact, they just this is funny. They just released a way this week to log into your MySpace account through Facebook.
Yes, that's like they did. Doing eye surgery through the rectum. That doesn't even make any sense.
So back to the drawing board. I'm hoping to figure out something, get it resubmitted to Apple, have them approve it, and have ready for you guys to download and listen to.
All right. Well, sorry, everybody, but, you know. Hey, anybody out there, an app programmer that wants to lend some talent? you know, you want to get your name out there? Well, we'll do some cross-promotion.
Yeah.
Gosh, is that it? Okay, well, I guess next week, okay, holiday. And so then in between this episode and next episode is Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving, so most people have it off. Biggest bar night of the year is Wednesday night. Right, they say.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so our good friend's FBOD Father, he's been shifting gears. We talked about this before, and so he's kind of occupied. But I'm going to speak on behalf of him on behalf of everybody at General Motors. Please do not drink and drive at all. It's never okay, and always buckle your safety belt because. Not because of your driving ability. These are my words now.
Yeah.
Not because of your driving ability, but because the guy heading towards you might have broken rule number one of not drinking and driving.
Yeah.
So it might save your life. Stay safe out there. Don't drink too much and eat tons of turkey and tune in next week for our Soda Jones Soda Yam Festival or whatever the heck we're
going. We'll see you next week.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Camaro Z28.com podcast. If you have questions or comments for Chris and Jason, call our voicemail hotline, 586-486-3182. Or send your comments by email, webmasters@CamaroZ28.com. Once again, thank you for listening to Camaro Z28.com podcast. We'll see you next week.
No, really, what the hell is a yam?